The Valley and state are dealing with a housing crisis as prices for apartments, rental homes, and houses to buy have risen dramatically. We've detailed many of the problems as part of our ongoing series called Out of Reach, but today we're going to look at some potential solutions. This spring, Laura Martin's students decided to try to tackle the issue as part of the Seniors Capstone Project. Martin's is an adjunct professor in ASU's design school, where she teaches in the landscape architecture program. She says she was interested in having her students look into the problem. She's worked on the issue of the so-called missing middle, housing between single-family and high-rise, usually consisting of between 6 to 20 units per acre. Earlier, I spoke with Martin's and one of her recently graduated students, Alex McCleary, and I started by asking Laura about some of the key takeaways from what her students as a whole put together.
Well, this particular class was really focused on doing good for the most amount of people. They're a really, really good class. And so we went pretty ambitious on addressing a lot of things at once. So sort of design of housing, the design of the building, design of the landscape, and then addressing kind of the bigger issues of affordability. And Alex's project focused on people who are just out of school, kind of getting their first jobs, this kind of needs to live in an urban area, but also wants to live in an urban walkable area. And that is where Alex took his project and a lot of students took their project focus.
So Alex, can you tell me a little bit about your project? Because in looking through it, it seems as though it kind of goes to what Laura was talking about in terms of this missing middle.
Yeah, so my project has a solution for the missing middle, and that's modularity. That's the ability to create units offsite using prefabrication methods and just quicker efficiency when it comes to construction, and then importing these units to the site. So that reduces some on-site building time. So I wanted to take this tiny house trend and kind of take it to a new level, because I think my generation is starting to realize that not all the time we need to have more space. Sometimes it's about having less space and then giving more space to the things that matter. So in my design, I created 8 dwelling units that have everything that you need to live comfortably within inside them, while also having many different amenities outside to kind of bring the residents together and create a community environment.
Well, and Alex, it does look like you were trying to address the idea of both having, you know, a place to live, but also stuff to do right there. Like it looked like there were definitely rooms for common areas, a pool, things like that for the folks who live there.
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to kind of put more emphasis on the landscape in my design so that people are more inclined to want to come outside and to engage with each other. So I created a variety of amenities for the residents that would live at this community, including a event lawn, a dog park, an outdoor kitchen and dining area, a fire pit, and a pool/spa and kind of basking deck.
Laura, what do you think we can learn from the design that Alex came up with?
I think there's so much room for innovation in this type of housing, this kind of slightly dense but not high-rise housing, in terms of small footprint and really rich outdoor amenities where your outside is shared and communal, but just really fun and creates a sense of community in spaces like this. So I think we have a lot to learn. I think design has a lot to give to encourage density in urban cores like Phoenix.
How scalable do you think this would be? You talked about having sort of a sweet spot for this missing middle movement. Obviously, the need in Phoenix is tremendous. So I'm curious how scalable a project like this might be.
Well, it's more expensive than high-rise housing. So high-rise housing obviously is putting as many units onto a square foot as possible. But it's scalable in that there is a lot of places that this could work in Phoenix. I mean, this is a tool in a toolkit that can address housing shortages and affordability in this city. And this is not a solution for something right downtown, say by City Hall. This is kind of a solution for encouraging more suburban areas to just be more denser than single family housing. And we have a lot of those places in Phoenix, as we are a big sprawling city. Like in my neighborhood, we even still have abandoned houses from the housing crisis that we could put easily 2, 3, 4 units on a lot that originally fit one.
Alex, safe to say that this is a solution, not the solution, and that maybe to really get to the bottom of this, there have to be sort of a multitude of options here.
Yes, definitely. I think this is, like you said, a solution to the problem, but I think that there are a variety of solutions. And I think the more people that we have on board kind of developing ideas and brainstorming ways that we can come up with new ways to solve this issue, I think the better off it will be. And the more things that we can build and, you know, put to test, the more we'll know what will actually be successful at doing so.
Let me jump in here too. And I think a lot of the cost in building housing is in the house itself. And while modular housing, which Alex explored, is a new innovation, with more experimentation and more investment, the price of these modular houses could come way down to the point where they could be comparable to building a house from scratch. So this is definitely a future forward thinking idea, but we need to be innovative in housing solutions for this country.
Right. Well, Laura, can you tell us a little bit about some of the other concepts that students came up with, like other creative solutions that they might have had?
Yeah. So we had students, well, Alex's project was really fun because he talked about kind of stacking different modular units to create sort of shady spaces underneath them and then places for decks and roof gardens above. We had other students who were working also with modularity, with different kinds of stacking, but then stacking kind of more heavily and having a lot more open space and address and kind of thinking about ways to have an economic connection for the people living there. I mean, not that students just out of school have time for a side hustle necessarily, but that they would have a space to like grow food and they could partner with organizations like Tiger Mountain to try to get some community gardens going on their site, or have that service be something they provided for the community. We had some other students play around with the kind of parking and where parking would go. I mean, one of the biggest uses of spaces, especially in kind of this range of housing, is parking. And one of the solutions that the missing middle kind of suggests is that we have less parking required for multifamily housing like this, because the neighborhood is ideally where these places would be ideally walkable, and it's sort of built with a walkable code in mind. So we had kind of students playing with getting rid of parking, having minimal parking, having lots of parking. And then some students were developing stores as part of their communal space as well.
So, Alex, you are, as you said, a recent college graduate yourself. Now that you are going into the world in this field, like, how do you take this project and what you learned and what you designed and maybe, you know, try to make an impact on this problem in this community?
So this is actually something that is a goal of mine to get more into and to create more affordable housing for people who are in need. And also kind of with this big trend of Airbnb living, I think it would be cool to create a community like this that is available for rent on Airbnbs. So for like group rentouts or just for any group of people who might need to live together for a period of time, I think that would be the way I would take this.
I think also too, with the class and also with the future of landscape architecture, we are trying to encourage our students to think beyond just the design and also learn about development and learn about code and learn about city processes so they can address important issues that we address with design, but on a bigger scale. I mean, be part of the multifaceted decision-making process that it takes to get the built environment built.
Laura, in terms of trying to get out of this problem and find solutions, I'm curious how much you think creativity will play a role here.
I definitely think creativity will play a role in addressing any issue, especially issues having to do with the built environment. The status quo isn't working. I mean, we've become a more innovative cities. We have so many innovations in medicine, in even the building environment. I just think that with more complex issues, that the more we can sort of slow down and research and let the creative process drive some of the decisions is the way forward.
Laura Martins is a faculty associate in ASU's Design School, where she teaches in the Landscape Architecture Department. Alex McCleary recently graduated from the Landscape Architecture Program at ASU.